The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Hey, Jess, I'm doing fine. That was sarcastic.
That didn't sound sarcastic.
What, do you not know what sarcastic means?
I would if you used the actual inflection, like, ugh, doing fine.
It's just me being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like Joey, the queen of sarcasm.
It's going to be a struggle today, Sarah. It's going to be a struggle to get through the
Joey storyline. This episode kind of blows.
The thing is, I have so many issues with this episode. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, forcing Audrey to make out with Oliver is honestly a crime against humanity.
It's a crime for all mouthy blondes everywhere.
Truly. But yeah, the Joey and the professor storyline, I really can't. But let's talk about the headline. Headline? How are you? How is life? How's things?
I'm fine. Wasn't actually being that. What is there to say? It's January, notoriously the worst month of the year.
Yeah.
Statistically
bad.
Statistically so. I once did this really big think project about, I put out to the universe, what's the worst month of the year, a poll in the Lady Gang Facebook group. This was years ago. And January was voted the worst month of the year.
I could see why. If you live in the Northeast, I especially can see why, because it's cold. And it's dark all the time. And it's not like we have the Christmas lights to illuminate our depression.
Sure.
It's just sad all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And I also think there's the pressures of like, oh, new year, new me type thing.
Exactly.
Which you can make a resolution any time of the year. It doesn't have to be New Year's. You could do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see how January would be. And you're like, oh, back to work after the holidays. Like, ugh. I see it. Yeah. I understand it.
Yeah. I actually have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that I should delete TikTok?
Well, so right now you have like restrictions on your phone for how long you can be on it, right?
Yeah, but I just override them.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, how much time do you spend on TikTok?
Like probably unlimited time on TikTok.
Then maybe you should try to either limit yourself or go cold turkey for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't find TikTok that engaging where I spend hours and hours and hours on it. I really don't.
I just scroll and scroll and scroll.
I find that it gives me the same garbage every day. Like literally I've seen the same TikToks multiple times and I'm like, bitch, I've seen this. Why are you giving it to me again?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know who Alex Earle is?
I have no idea.
Okay, so she's kind of the new it girl of TikTok. Like she's like the girl, and she's this gorgeous blonde girl from New Jersey, but then she went to the University of Miami for college, and that's where she's now. And she used to date a professional MBL player, but she broke up with him.
You mean MLB player?
Sure. She broke up with him because he wouldn't post her on his socials, and she's like, I'm better than this. I don't need this. And she's like the number one influencer in the world right now. Like people are obsessed with her.
Yeah, I definitely think you need to delete TikTok.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to get you. You are so okay. So this is the other thing that I have to say is that I feel like I am so more in tap with the younger generation. Oh,
there's no question that you are.
And I feel as though if I lose TikTok, then I'm going to not be as in touch. And then I'm going to sound like you.
Yeah, okay. All right. As if that's a bad thing. Listen.
And you never know anything.
I recognize that I am a 31-year-old lady who doesn't need to know what the kids know.
You're still watching freaking YouTube videos from 2017.
You gotta let go. I love YouTube. Leave me alone. Do I watch Jenna Marbles repeatedly? Yes. No. Because you know what? She brings me joy, as do her adorable dogs and her wonderful now husband, Julian.
Sure.
They're not listening to this, but it was great for them.
It was great, but it was great back in 2017.
It's still great now. It is still, and you know why it's great now? Can I tell you why it's had a revitalization in my life?
Why is that?
I am now the age that Jenna is in a lot of the videos I'm watching. And I feel very seen when she's like, I'm just going to do a random art project because it's going to bring me joy. And I'm like, you know what, Jenna? You do, you girl.
Is she like an 87? 1987 baby.
I think she's a little older than that. I want to say I think by now she's probably like 35, maybe, is what I would assume. How old is Jenna Marbles?
Tell you, that's 1987. That's how the checks
she's
out.
36. She's an 86 baby.
86. Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to be like, oh, when I was watching it, I was a couple years younger than her. I'm 3 years younger than her.
Yeah. No, I connect with her on a deep level, especially because, okay, like who cares? No one's going to listen to this. It's fine. The thing is, Jenna like was always just herself. Like she wasn't trying to be anybody else. Like she wasn't, her hair was dirty and messy, and she would do like, she would cut her hair when she probably shouldn't be doing it. She would do things at home that people would spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on. And I find that relatable because
she is your spirit animal, because I think that's the attitude that you want to go into life as.
That is the exact attitude I want. I don't need to like spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on silly things that I'm going to try to do it myself. And I appreciate that energy. And I think
that was a good impression of her.
Thank you. We connect on a spiritual level. And so, I would say that TikTok is probably fine unless you're unhealthily addicted to it.
I might be crossing that territory.
Maybe you just need to you're on this like book journey. Yeah. What about book talk? Are you on book talk?
Yeah, I grace book talk. Yeah.
Can I tell you that when I went to Barnes & Noble the other day, they had a whole like little table that had like a little sign that said hashtag book talk.
Yeah, I know that because I've seen it on TikTok.
You know what? I went into a store and I saw it in person.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. They're closing all the Barnes and Nobles by me, but
oh wow. Yeah, we went in. But like I finished my first book of the year.
You read it?
I read it.
When?
This past week.
When did you have time to read your book?
This is my new try. Not again. I'm not making a New Year's resolution. This is not that. It is that I am trying to, before I go to bed, I am trying to just sit and read. Like, I'm not putting a limit on it, but like, let's say 30 pages or something like that, just to like make some kind of a dent in my, because usually when you read that much, then you're kind of getting sucked in anyway and you want to read more.
Right.
But yeah, I've been reading before bed, and I find, and the book itself, absolutely adorable. And it was just so, it was just so pleasant that it would put me in such a good mood before bed.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
What's the book called?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I can't remember the name of it.
Well, you can't just talk about a book and just be like, oh. I'm halfway through A Court of Mist and Fury, which is a ACOTAR, a Court of Thorns and Roses book, a Sarah J. Maas book. I don't know. Oh, it's like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like some, it's like a fantasy, which is not really my genre, but a lot of people like it. So I've been renting it from the library. It's a 624 page book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a chunker.
That's a big book.
It's a chunker. And the next one is only bigger.
Oh, I found the title by Googling a bunch of words to find it.
Okay. Yeah.
It is called How to Excavate a Heart.
Oh.
It is absolutely adorable. It is a, if you like young adult novels, if you like rom-coms, it's also queer and Jewish. So it ticks a lot of these boxes, and it's not unlike anything I've ever read. And I think it came out in the past like year, like it's 2022. Mm-hmm. Like it's very, very recent. It's absolutely adorable. Jake My Arlo is the author.
Are you going to proceed with reading a new book next?
Absolutely. Yeah. I kind of want to. I haven't decided yet if I want to go to the library or if I want to just go to like a used bookstore, because how I ended up with this book in the first place was Will and I went to Barnes & Noble and we had a little game where each person had 15 minutes to find the other person a book, and you could only shop. There was like a 50% off hardcovers sale. Mm-hmm. So you had to shop within that parameter. And we gave each other like little, and you know, we know what each other likes, but, and he got me this book because on the front cover, there are two women walking in the snow with a corgi who's wearing booties and a little jacket.
Adorable.
And it's so cute. But yeah, I plan on getting another book at some point. I'm a
big library person these days.
You love a library.
Yeah, I'm always, that's where I'm getting most of my books these days, even though I have hundreds of books at home. And it's because there's a nice little time limit that I have to adhere to.
What do you mean a time limit?
Well,
you have to return the book within a certain.
I have to return the book. So it's like, yeah. I know I have to read this book by a certain day. So I can't just
dilly-dally. That's fair. Yeah, I'm thinking about my next book being, I told you about this book. It's called Dear Edward.
Yes.
By Anne Napolitano. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that. Because it's being turned into a show. And so I really want to read it. I had the audiobook, but I've been struggling to get through audiobooks. I can't exactly explain why. I find it a lot easier when like I'm sitting and physically, I have to physically be focused on the book. So I might get that book.
Is next. Listening media dead?
No, definitely. I mean, hopefully not. We're a podcast. I just
not me like leading you into that question.
Yeah. No, I found myself difficult to concentrate for me sometimes. So yeah. Anyway,
the
moving on from that,
to sleep.
It's like not us. That I just
do you
I just
think that anybody's listening to us while they're falling asleep?
Definitely.
Yeah, because yeah, we're so boring.
Yeah, why not? Honestly, I would take it as a compliment because I'm so loud.
Oh, wait.
I don't know how anybody would ever fall asleep to my voice.
Just fall into the sleep pattern. Think about clouds and sheep. Connect with the cool ocean breeze. Let your eyelids fall down.
Well, now they're awake because of that.
Now they're awake.
That's fine. You know what? Wake up. It's time to talk about guerrilla filmmaking. Season 5, episode 14 of Dawson's Creek.
Sure, if you want.
Well, we can't wait. It's 12 minutes in. We got to at least talk about this.
This is just a banter pod.
Why not? So we start off, Audrey and Oliver are like, they're filming this in the dorm room, and they're filming this scene where like Audrey has to like pour a shot, and Oliver's character is some kind of con artist, and Audrey, so they kiss, but then Audrey is just like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. And she says, like, she tries to tell Dawson, this doesn't make any sense. If I were a girl trying to seduce a boy, I would never let him know how much I want him. Never, ever, because that's when they lose interest.
Oh, okay. Good tips from Audrey on how to keep a guy. Get a guy. I think I can do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get that guy.
I mean, I don't know that this holds up in terms of like the world now. I would say like at the time, she's probably right.
I don't know. It's playing games. I think that people still play games.
People still play a lot of games. I feel like the new trend is just to be honest. No,
I don't think so. Oh, you don't know. You're not connected with the kids.
I'm really not. But Dawson says we get this whole this feels very Friends-esque where he's like, remember, she knows that he knows that she knows what kind of man it is. And so if he knows that she knows that she knows that he knows, see what I'm getting at? It feels very Friends-ish.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that was a very funny episode of Friends.
So good.
So much better than this episode of Dawson's Creek. And then they just continue. Ooh, Pacey's the boom operator, but he's a very bad boom operator because you keep seeing the peak of the boom.
I know. You know what was funny is when the show started, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's not going to be good. And then, of course, it's Pacey and he's getting yelled
at. Pacey's a slacker. But holding up that big stick is really heavy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. Like, why don't they have some kind of apparatus that straps to his body so that the weight can be distributed like across his body versus just on his arms?
I really don't know, but I mean, I remember when I went to film school, they had boom operators. I think that's a really good question. It seems very archonic.
Yeah.
Archaic.
I'm just gonna let archonic slip.
Archaic. I don't know. We get to see Dawson in action as a director. That's the point of all of this. Oliver's whole script kind of blows, or it's good. I don't really know, but
honestly, I think it's pretty trashy. It seems pretty bad, but
it's good enough for Dawson to take an interest in it.
It is. I get to, you know, one of my favorite, okay, one of my only things that I liked about this episode, Jen as the marker girl.
Oh, she is so excited.
She loves doing it. She loves it.
She loves the little clapboard.
It was so cute. She was so excited about it. Although, Jen, when you're in a dorm room, you really don't need the megaphone, girl. Like, you don't need it.
I have clapped a clapboard, but I've never gotten to speak through a megaphone.
I don't think I've done either.
Yeah. You don't need a megaphone. I would be terrified.
No, there are times when, like, if you ever go to a work meeting and, like, people have to stand up at the front and talk, I'm like, seriously, it's not hard to, like, project.
Project,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can project in my sleep. I just don't understand how people have it. So, anyway. Then we're in Wilder's class. And, like, this is post-Joey and Wilder kiss. And so he's talking about, like, what makes life intense and, like, your desires versus your ideals, your head versus your heart. And Joey decides, oh, I have an example. It's about a guy. And then the bell rings. And I'm like, Joey, were you about to talk about your fucking professor right in front of him? In front of the whole fucking class, Joey?
I think this is genius. I think that this is how you're subtle and people will never figure out what you're up to. If you are so obvious about what's going on that you just lay it out in front of everybody, because then people are like, oh, there's no way this is actually happening, because then she wouldn't say it. So this is it. Hiding in plain sight. Genius. A genius move by Joey Potter.
I hate this whole storyline. It should not be surprise anybody. First of all, I don't know what the fuck they think they're doing with Joey this season.
I don't know. She took the happy pills that Jen had a couple of episodes
ago. Truly. I don't know what's going on with her.
She's skipping all around fucking town.
She is like, giddy. She's feeling a certain way. And so she goes to try to talk to Wilder, but then he's being like very sarcastic and like, and then he says, like, he apologizes. He says he's a creep and he's robbed her of her innocence. And I don't like, this is something I really don't like that he does. He constantly interrupts her and like completes her sentences. I don't like that.
Wilder sucks. And it's kind of what I said a couple of episodes. At this point, she fully just worships him and the ground that he walks on.
Yeah.
So anything that he does, anything that he says, she's just like, oh my God, you're so amazing. You're so smart. And he loves it because who doesn't like their ego stroked?
No, I think like this, there's a reason that this is a like common, not even a trope, but like a common thing that happens where you have like the person who is very like knowledgeable and of higher status. And then, like, their pupil falls in love with them because it's very, like, I mean, to be fair, Wilder feels, like, unsuccessful in my opinion. I mean, I know he works for, like, a prestigious college, but, like, he said himself that the book he wrote was crap. Like, has he written anything else?
I don't know. Is it the old tried and true? If you can't do it, then teach.
Yeah, maybe. But this is, like, such a popular thing where you just people of a certain, like, a younger age, like, idolize these people and then they like
it happens. It happens when people fall in love with their teachers or their or leaders or their bosses or whatever. It happens all the time and it's because I think that I don't know, like I think that intelligence is something that I am attracted to, and if I perceive somebody as knowledgeable or talented, then I think that there is a way for people to fall in love with that. I think that it is common, especially for people in their 20s, to fall in love with the person that, or fall in crush with the people they are not supposed to be. But these are the lessons that you learn in your 20s not to do. These are not the obtainable guys.
Yeah, these are definitely lessons for people in their 20s. I totally agree with that. Like, these are the things where you're like, oops, made that mistake. And I feel like Joey's going to have that realization at some point of like, oops, made that mistake.
So I don't hate that she's learning the lesson, but obviously Wilder is trash and he is loving that his ego is being stroked. And
exactly,
it's kind of, he's saying all the right things. Oh, I'm creepy, like I'm inappropriate, like I'm going to get arrested, but he's still spending one-on-one time alone with Joey constantly.
Yeah, it very much is like a not a half measure, but very much like a, oh, I'm gonna say that I know this is wrong, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And so Joey has stuff to say to him, but she can't, the pressure's on and she needs to like think about it. So she leaves. Then we're at civilization. PC's there making an omelet. Audrey comes in and she's just like, did you sleep here? Like, that's not okay.
He's a little homeless right now.
Yeah. And I love Audrey with the audacity of just like, hey, can I have that omelet?
Well, who else would you be making it for? Yourself? You don't need that omelet. And apparently it's for another girl that he brought in and canoodled with.
Yeah.
At Civilization.
It's so funny because she's like, she comes in and he calls her Gina and her name is Rena. And Audrey straight up throws him under the bus of like, no, you definitely
a girl's
said Gina.
Girl for sure. A girl's girl. That's my girl, Audrey. She does not like the misogyny of it. So Rena leaves. But honestly, Rena's a stupid name and nobody's named Rena. And I think that Gina is a better name anyway. So Gina, see you later.
It is pretty bad that Pacey doesn't know this girl's first name.
Well, I mean, Rena's not a name. That's the thing.
Did you like how when Rena is leaving, she says, have a nice life, Stacy.
Yeah, Rena really got it in there. Oh my God.
Pacey got it.
Annihilated Pacey in that moment. Not really. This episode is so fucking dumb.
It is. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
But then, of course.
Like, where is all these girls coming from that Pacey's getting with? Like, Pacey has some theme.
Listen, you don't think Pacey has the charm, But
no, I never said that he didn't have charm.
Okay. Because I will specifically say there's a moment after Rena leaves,
yeah,
where Pacey is when like, well, fine, her. Now you can have the omelet then. Yeah. And so he gives the omelet to Audrey and they have this like cute little like smiley situation. And again, my heart just flutters. Joshua Jackson is so freaking cute. I can't. Like, he's so charming. He's so, so, so charming.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And he's offering free omelets. So
I love
what could be omelet. Better.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God we're almost done talking about this frat house, because we were like, oh, the frat house situation's over. No, wrong.
Well, it only has to get worse. So Jack is trying to be friends with Eric and they're going to play Madden 2020 or whatever. And is there anything else to say about this in this moment?
I love how Madden 2020.
What year? 2021?
Yeah. Basically, like he's trying to like make it up with the guys, but he's not sure how to do it. And he's like, I don't know how to apologize now. But like Eric is staying behind anyway. So they're gonna hang out.
I have a question quickly, because I don't want to harp on this. Yeah. Is men playing sports in a video game the most stupid thing to do ever? Because honestly, why won't you just go and play the video game or go and play the actual sport? Why are you playing the video game?
I've played like a football video game before.
What Madden is.
I mostly just smash the buttons. My husband has played like a baseball video game. I will say I don't get the appeal. I don't get it. But I also don't like sports. Stupid. So, because
FIFA is like one of the most popular video games. Why are you bitches playing FIFA? Like, go outside and kick a ball. What the fuck?
You sound like a grandpa. Like, all those little kids need to get off of their video games and go play outside. It's like
30-year-old men playing FIFA.
They're not 30, they're 20.
It's just so dumb. Like, go outside and just, like, I understand, like, Grand Theft Auto, because I'm not going to go outside ever and steal cars, right? Like, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
But I could kick a football around.
Okay. You're going to kick a football around?
Football.
Oh, soccer. Yeah, football. That's what you meant to say, is certainly football.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I don't get the appeal. But again, I don't know that I'm the audience they're catering towards. So
I guess so. Men, explain yourselves. Why play a video game of sport when you can just go out and play sport?
Yeah. Play sport. Yep. Dawson is up in his cold attic editing this film.
Yeah.
It's not good. Dawson says it's really bad. The ending doesn't work. We only have 12 hours to rewrite it because the lights we were going to use were only rented until tomorrow morning. And Dawson says that Oliver is without a doubt the most pathetic excuse for a thespian that's ever been. Jack and Grams have more sexual chemistry than these two.
Just annihilate Oliver. Just so drag rough. Him to the ground.
Yeah.
You know what? Not everybody has the talent of being an actor, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Oliver sucks. Like, I feel like if you've written it, it's really hard to, like, be not all writers should be actors.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is exactly what I am learning today, because Dawson, not a good writer, never was, right?
He's a very good director.
Very good director. He's a great director, but he should never write another script for the rest of his life. Don't touch it.
He's an excellent director, though. I feel like you know what it is? It's he's like very good at connecting with people and letting them feel heard and like understood. And I also think he has a way of like having conversations with people that puts them at ease.
Yes. And the vision.
Especially, because then Oliver comes up and apparently he fucking slept there. I'm like, is this guy living here now? What is Oliver doing?
At Graham's house is basically a safe haven for stupid teens. I don't know what to say.
and Dawson says, listen, you're not the right actor for this role. And Oliver's like, well, you're wrong. But I gotta give a little bit of credit to Oliver. Like, he says, Dawson, you're the director, and if this is gonna get done, then you need to have final decision, including casting.
Yeah. Well, there
and
you go.
I was like, wow, that's honestly impressive.
Mature.
I didn't expect this from
Look
Oliver.
Look at that. Oliver's not that bad. Everything that we just said 5 minutes ago is wrong.
But the thing is, okay, let me tell you, when this originally, so this they're saying like, oh, we need a new actor. We have to recast the part today.
Yeah.
Somebody who is sexy, charismatic, and attractive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's flashback to season 3 of Dawson's Creek.
Sure.
I think it's season 3. One Pacey Witter is mm-hmm. cast in a play, a school play.
Yes.
Does amazingly well.
A very good job.
Very
yes.
charismatic, very funny, very attractive, has a little bit of like machismo when he wants to. And guess what? He's your fucking boom operator and he's right there. I thought they were going to cast Pacey.
I did think that they were going to cast Pacey, especially because of the preview photo that this episode had. Which is,
by the way, so spoilery.
Oh my god, I have to stop trying to. It's so bad. I need to stop looking at the photos.
But it's like you can't even help it. It's right there in your face.
I know. I really don't know how to stop it. But you're right. It's so bad. But so I thought that they're going to cast Pacey, and then later in the episode, I thought that they're going to recast Charlie for Pacey. But no, it never happened.
I was
happened.
Really annoyed. It's like, oh, because we need someone who's all these things and not burdened with a soul. And Jen laughs and she's like, oh, I used to date him.
Yeah.
And Dawson, gotta give a little more credit to Dawson. He's not like, you'd think he'd have a problem with hiring Jen's ex-boyfriend to work on this, especially because he cheated on Jen.
Sure, but it's not like Jen is playing the lead role in this. They're not.
No, but it's more
and
like
Jen
she has to be around him.
Charlie.
She hates him.
Charlie.
Yeah. And Jen's like, you wouldn't make me do that, would you? And it's and then of course we flash to a scene of Jen outside of Charlie's dorm room. And she's just like, okay, well, you know what? Here's the thing. You get to make out with a really hot girl. And that's all Charlie needs to hear to be on board with this plan.
Yeah. I didn't know what
like
Charlie's
a lot of work to make out with someone. Like, you have to memorize all these lines in a few hours to make out with a girl.
Absolutely, especially because they have to refilm everything. It is a lot of work, but maybe Charlie is a theater major.
I think it's just interesting because I feel like he seems like a guy who's just like getting it all the time, and so I really don't understand how he's like needs this.
Or his reputation is going around campus and he can't get anybody.
Oh, maybe you're right. Okay, maybe you're right. Joey gets back in the dorm room and they're both kind of ranting at the same time. So Joey says, this guy is unbelievable. And Audrey says, I know, he couldn't even remember her first name. Not her last name. Her last name, I don't understand. But her first name? And like they're both talking about different people. So Audrey lets Joey
Audrey's
go.
Talking about, ooh, yeah. Audrey's talking about Pacey.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Yeah, so first of all, you have seen this coming since the beginning of the season. You knew Audrey and PC were gonna be a thing. But by this point you were probably like, oh yeah, definitely this is happening, like, and soon.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it made a lot of sense. I do think that the actors have the correct chemistry to make
I agree
it
with that.
Work. So sure, why not?
No, I will say, like, my issues with this episode are not anything to do with like Audrey and Pacey getting together.
Agree.
It's more like how they choose to tell that story that annoys me.
I mean, so what is it that annoys you? The fact that Audrey and Pacey kiss and then she freaks out and
no,
then...
that feels very normal. That to me felt like the correct response that Audrey would have, that she feels super guilty about.
So
it.
Then it's Joey's response to it.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's the whole situation is so strange to me.
Well,
like, again, it feels
high
very
on
much
her own shit and she's like,
but
nothing can bother me.
It feels so unlike Joey. And, like, I understand they're trying to, like, have her be, like, other Joey. This is college Joey. This is evolved Joey.
Yeah.
It feels so unlike Joey. Like, not at all in her character. But, yeah.
Yeah, she's really unbothered about it.
But we'll get to that later. So, yeah. So then Joey is complaining about Wilder. She's like, you know what? I was all ready to say what I had to say. And then he like did a Jedi mind trick. And then I can't remember who I even am. And Audrey's just like, you're Joey Potter. Thank you, Audrey. And I do love, though, that Joey's just like, you know what? I'm not going to be like infatuated with him. And Audrey's just like, can I be brutally honest? And Joey says, like, you've ever been anything but.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And Audrey's like, no, you definitely are infatuated with him. Like, that's definitely a thing that's happening.
Oh, absolutely. She's practically in love with him.
Yeah. And Joey's just like, what? I used to have this like mentor. We were really good friends, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, were you friends? Were you ever like friends? I feel like that is like a big word to extend to Professor Wilder.
They were never friends. They were student and teacher.
Yeah. You mentor. Yes. Mentor, mentee. Yes.
Mentor. Yeah. That applies.
Friends, but yeah,
not so much.
No. And so our Joey's just like, well, I should drop his class. Like, I don't know what to do. And Joey's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, angst over him? Like, I don't know what to do. What do you think about Audrey calling Joey Bunny?
I think it's so funny, especially because that's a mm-hmm. nickname that I use. I love it.
Yeah. Bunny, breathe.
Bunny, breathe.
Yeah. And she asks Joey when the last time was that she felt completely and totally alive. And Joey just laughs. And I'm like, in a modern age, Audrey would be like, girl, he's your professor. Stop it. But we're not in a modern age at this point. So
I think that Audrey's loving the drama.
Audrey does love the drama.
She loves it. She loves the thought that Joey is going to do something dangerous or wrong. So I don't think that
she wants Joey to lean into like college other Joey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And the more that she focuses on Wilder, the less she would care about her being interested in Pacey.
I don't know that Audrey even knows she's interested in Pacey at this moment.
That's
though.
True. But it could be a subconscious thing.
Could be. I think she really just wants Joey to like live the college experience and like not be such a worrywart all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's only beneficial.
Mm-hmm. We're back at the frat house. And this is when like all the other guys went to like the athletic center. And I guess Eric has like work he has to do. And Jack starts saying like, oh, we have to like go play Madden, whatever. But they decide, oh, you know what? Let's drink. Even though, yeah, Madden 2002 is the game they're playing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They have a mini fridge instead of a full fridge. And there's only drinks in this mini fridge. And it's mostly beer. It's like, why won't you have a full size fridge?
Oh, I assumed they had a full fridge too. And this was just like the Bev fridge.
Oh, it's just the Bevs. So you're on. They're going to go play Madden 2002.
Yeah, your Patriots kicked my Bears into a different time zone last time they met. Who gives a fuck?
Wow. Your Patriots kicked my... Where's the Bears from?
Chicago.
Oh, you really? You know that?
I know a decent amount about football, actually. Yeah, the Patriots are the New England Patriots, and the Bears are the Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where the Bears fucking suck. No, I thought they were good.
I hate them because their coach is a cheater and Tom Brady is a fucking asshole, even though he's not on that team anymore.
What's the coach's name again?
Belichick. Belichick is what they nicknamed him. He's the one who wears the sweatshirt with no sleeves, like a fucking moron.
Oh, yeah. I heard that they like really are like very regimented at the Patriots. Like he doesn't let them get away with shit.
I believe that. Yeah. He's the reason that if you do watch a football game, you see them holding their clipboards up to cover their mouths when they are giving orders over their microphones, because he would cheat and film people and figure out what they were saying with like lip readers.
I mean, is that cheating or is that just smart strategy?
No, that is full-on cheating, Sarah. That is cheating.
I don't think that's cheating. I think that anything that you can use against another team is good.
He was a part of Deflategate, too.
Okay. I mean, that's just weird. I mean, who's responsible for throwing out the balls? Somebody,
I don't remember.
That's somebody's job, and they
definitely,
they were the ones that deflated the balls and let it go. So I don't think that's somebody else's moral compass being screwed up.
Yeah,
that's like, I don't understand. Whatever, we're not a sports podcast, or maybe we should be, because that's more interesting than this episode.
Is it? I don't know about that.
I mean, what else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Charlie in this acting role doing?
I don't understand why they had to put Jen being the one opposite him. Like, why can't? I mean, I guess Dawson can't look at it if he's. But get sure. Where's Audrey? Pull Audrey in here. Make her have run the lines with him.
Well, because she's speaking with Joey about.
Jen is so Wilder. Uncomfortable throughout this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. She's forced. I love you can sleep with blah, 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 blah. And I just love Charlie leans in and Jen's just like a world of pain. You're entering a world of pain if you get any closer to me.
She's so scrappy.
Mm-hmm. But they end up saying, you know what? He's actually pretty decent. But I'm going to have to like completely rewrite the ending. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know why it made me laugh so much when Oliver said, heavens to Betsy.
heavens to Betsy.
Yeah, but they end up saying, you know what, let's get him. And so they say, by the way, Charlie, you have 2 hours to learn all of your lines. And have you seen the thickness of this script?
This script is a huge comfort. That's nearly as big as the book that I'm reading currently.
And he is the lead role. So you have to imagine that's a lot of, he's not like an extra, like there's a lot of fucking lines he has to learn.
It's a lot of expectations for Charlie for a student film that he doesn't get paid for.
Yeah. All he's getting paid with is making out.
Yeah. Craft services are probably not even good. It's probably just using your bar. Like your school bucks to get some chips.
Why would he sign on to this? He must have nothing better to do.
He definitely doesn't have anything better to do.
Yeah.
That's 110% accurate.
Yeah.
And it's an ego thing. Like, he loves the fact that they would ask him to play like the hot lead in a role.
Yeah. We're back at the frat house. We have a conversation between Jack and Eric, where Eric is talking about like girls terrible, they make you watch Notting Hill over and over again.
We've watched Notting Hill, and I don't know if we would watch it again. I didn't like it that much.
I didn't either. I remember being extremely meh on it
because it was so hyped up and we were like, it's not that good, and everybody was like, you're crazy, it's the best movie ever.
I love your impression of people.
I mean, I can think of two people that were like, oh my God, it's the best movie ever. You're so wrong. Here's all my pictures of me standing outside of the Notting Hill exhibit. The store, not the exhibit.
Anyway, Jack really likes Notting Hill. And they do this thing where they like lay back on the floor. And I was like, are we about to have a moment? Because remember, flashback to earlier in the season, I was like, oh, I thought him and this was going to be Jack's new beau was Eric. Like, I thought that was going to be the storyline.
Cursed.
I was so devastated because I was like, oh, wonderful. Like, Jack can be someone's mentor for like coming out and dealing with all of that. Right.
No, but we should have known because Eric from the beginning was a homophobic, like fucking asshole face. Yeah. And he starts questioning about when Jack knew he was gay and if he always knew, and Jack's being very open and vulnerable and sharing that,
yes,
you know, he probably like always knew, but he had to just accept it himself and come to his own, and it was very insightful and all this shit. And Eric was giving him like fuck me eyes, but Jack was being very respectful.
Yeah, like
and keeping his distance.
Like the way they frame the shot is like Jack is laying on the ground and Eric is like saying, like, you're a really amazing guy. You're the kind of guy I want to be. And he's like saying this as he's like up on his side, like mm-hmm. leaning on one of his arms. And I was thinking like, oh, is Jack going to turn and is he going to kiss him? Like he's getting closer and closer to Jack, but Jack is trying. Like, I feel like Jack is like in a very uncomfortable position. Like, I don't know if it's that like he doesn't like Eric like that, or he just is like, I don't know that Jack was getting clear enough signals to want to like do anything. You know what I mean?
I think that the last thing that Jack needs is for him to even have the, it's exactly what happens. Like he never wants to get into the position where he does or initiates something that they were accusing him of or afraid of.
Yeah.
So I don't think that he would ever consider getting into a situation, a romantic situation with a brother because of all the prejudice yeah. and the fear. And I think that the fact that like Jack doesn't lean in like pisses Eric off.
Well, he's embarrassed.
Up. And yeah. then Eric is just like embarrassed. And yeah. Jack is like, oh, like, let's go play Madden again or whatever.
Yeah. And Eric's like, oh, I have work to do now. I'm going to go. I yeah. think also what it is after having read that book, like we're not queer. We're not coming from a place of like being gay or anything like that. However, in the book I just read, I thought it was very interesting and such a good point of like, it's very difficult when you're not straight, because what if the person that you have a crush on is straight and you're second guessing whether or not you're misreading the signals, even if like in a heteronormative right. relationship, it would be very obvious someone was flirting. But I feel like, you're put in this position of questioning whether or not you're just misreading, because the worst thing you could possibly do is like, try to make a move or whatever on someone who is straight and doesn't actually right. have those feelings. I think that's a lot of what it is, a lot of like second guessing. And I think that's probably also part of it as well. Like Jack doesn't want to like make a move on Eric. And then it, like exactly what Eric said he did, like, you
exactly.
know,
exactly.
But yeah. Eric is now embarrassed. And so he gets up and he leaves. And then, and you could tell, I feel like a lot of it is like, he's like, oh my God, Jack is going to like spread everything I said around the like fraternity.
But Jack, you know what I mean? Would never, because no. I mean, that's,
he's been there.
Yeah. He's been there.
Yeah. Joey is okay. This part killed me. Joey is like pacing outside of Wilder's house and we get to see his laptop, and it is an old school Gateway laptop with that little like Ooh. Cow cube.
Yes. So I was going to say, like, isn't the Gateway laptop the cow one?
Yes, it's the cow one. There's a little cow cube.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Flashback to old times, man. But yeah, so Wilder goes outside and again, he says like, oh, are you selling Girl Scout cookies? And he mentions my favorites, the Samoas. Do you have any of the coconut ones with the chocolate and the caramel? Gross. I love those.
Gross.
What? I don't. They're the best ones.
No, I just don't like shredded coconut. That's my issue.
God. Oh my God.
I don't like it. It's I so like good. The tagalongs. Is that what it's called?
Those are the peanut butter ones?
Yeah, I like the peanut butter ones.
Yeah, those are tagalongs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like.
I gotta say, EL Fudge makes, not EL Fudge, that's the type of cookie. Whatever the one with the little elves on, is it Keebler?
Yeah, Keebler.
They make really good dupes for like all these cookies. So.
Do they?
Go treat yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know those elves actually worked hard.
Those elves are working so hard every day to bring you cookies.
I didn't think so. I thought that they were kind of slackers. They seem what? Like they don't really do much.
They're up in their tree making yeah. us cookies all the time.
I don't think so.
Can you imagine that quote out of context?
I think those Keebler elves just fuck around all day.
What? Oh my God, they're such hard workers.
No, I don't think so. What? They probably get like Toucan Sam to come in and do all their work for them.
Toucan Sam makes cereal. That is exactly. not anything like cookies.
Exactly.
How do people make cereal? Like what even is it? Is it flour? Is it like,
yeah, like wheat?
This is how boring this episode is, that we are talking about how cereal is made, by the way.
Fruit Loops.
I hate Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Do you I'm like not a Fruity smell? Pebbles bitch. I'm not a Fruit Loops bitch. I can't be bothered.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's a Honey Grahams girl.
No, no. I like the Special K vanilla and almond is delicious.
Okay.
I really love a Frosted Flake, but they get soggy too quickly.
Oh my God. Ew.
What kind of cereal are you eating?
Well, obviously Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best.
Oh, that's the best one. You're right. That's the best one.
But wait, eat shrimp or without shrimp? I don't care.
Wait, Cinnamon Toast Crunch are the ones that are square shaped, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Whew. We're good. We're on the same page. All right, while we're at it, let's go to a quick ad break and then we'll come back to stupid Professor Wilder and stupid Joey. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Oh, enough cereal talk. We're delaying the inevitable.
Can't we just yada yada this? Like, what's going on here? What is this conversation?
Joey is trying to say that, you know what? Like, I want to shake your hand in a very masculine way.
Great.
I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away.
Great.
She says, I can't be a part of your class. And he says, and like, this is not on Joey for misinterpreting this. This is on him for even saying this, where he says, you know what? No great loss there. And she says, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah, I would take it the same way as Joey did. Be like, okay, fine. I don't really care what, like, that's really rude. He's like, no. I was saying that my class is not good enough for you. It's like, that seems like a backtrack.
Yeah, I don't know about this, Professor Wilder. But he's like, you've got it. The gift, the touch, whatever you want to call it. You have it. I don't. And she's just like, you know what? Now I don't want to go away. And they like hold hands in the weirdest fucking way possible. She does the queen handshake, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what this
barely
is called.
Giving a hand, just little fingers only.
Yeah. She's wearing gloves too. I don't know if this matters.
Brown leather gloves.
Yeah.
Her outerwear is looking good today.
I do like the look. The look is there.
Yeah, a long camel wool coat.
She has on a turtleneck, your fave.
A boat. No, not a boat.
A boat?
A boot.
She has on a boat.
Oh my God, I don't care. I really don't. Let's talk about Pacey and Audrey. They're running lines together and it's getting saucy. And then she starts reading the lines and
you gotta go back to the part where she pumps herself up because it's so ridiculous. She goes, give me a minute, bring it.
She's shaking it out.
And she's wearing this tank top with like a rainbow on it and these like boxer shorts. Like, it's a look.
It's definitely a look.
But she has full-on glam makeup too.
But she does, exactly. Yeah. And then she's in character and she's ready to seduce him.
Yeah. And PC's like laying backwards on the bed.
Whose
like,
bed? Is Audrey's bed? It better be Audrey's bed. Good. Because everybody's always on Joey's bed.
Although he's probably wearing sneakers. So
yeah, let me see your shoes, Pacey.
Yeah.
Let me see
your feet. But yeah, she says, nobody wants to be alone, not even you. And so then they start making out. And they're like, I'm not going to do this. Ah, it's so wrong.
And then Pacey has a boner that he hides with a pillow.
Wait, really? Does that happen? Hold on. I'm rewatching.
Yes, he does. Look at his pillow game.
Okay, let me look at the pillow game.
I mean, Audrey throttles him.
Oh, you're right. He covers it up.
Covers up the boner.
He does cover up the boner.
Yeah, has the hots for Audrey.
Yeah.
And they said, this is not right. I can't do this to Joey.
Yep. Can't do this. Nope.
Yeah. Gotta Pacey cover doesn't up the care, boner. Though. Pacey would do it to Joey. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I think at this point.
But yeah, so Audrey has to live with the fact that she made out with Pacey and she's feeling super, super guilty because she loves Joey and she doesn't want anything to ruin their friendship.
Yeah. And she's getting more and more upset because she's on set and she has to make out with Charlie. And she's like, he's ramming his tongue down my throat. Mm-hmm. He's looking for my diaphragm. And like, yeah, like you said, she's getting very distracted and she's just like, and Charlie sucks. Charlie like is like not very good at this either. And I love how she's just like, it's so unprofessional. And then she looks at Pacey and she's like, it's so intense with you just standing there next to me. You're a terrible boom operator.
Yeah. Obviously she's too distracted by Pacey and what's going on between them. And she storms off and everybody just looks at Pacey and is like, what just happened? And Pacey's just like, oh no, I might've messed up.
Yeah.
Might have messed up. So yeah, everyone's very curious what's going on with dear Pacey and Audrey. I think it's pretty obvious those two are not being subtle.
Nope, there was canoodling that occurred.
Canoodles, the canoods.
Yeah. Then Joey decides what a great idea to go sit uncomfortably in Wilder's house.
So once again, if you're saying like, I don't want to be put in this position where they're next to each other one-on-one, don't be hanging out in his house on a couch. Truly. Just the two of you. Don't put yourself in a situation that you know is going to end poorly.
Yeah.
Or with canoodling, or I guess is the word of the day.
Yeah.
And these two are kind of just talking about, I don't know.
Yeah. Wilder's saying like, listen, I've never done that before. I can't afford to lose my job.
I just don't believe it.
I don't believe this at all. Not even
I think that he's a predator. He's a he is a predator.
Yeah.
And he's like giving her, they're giving each other eyes. And she's like, I should drop your class. I should never come back.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Yes, except then her phone vibrates.
Yeah, and then interrupting, and it is, I suppose, Dawson.
It's Dawson. Yeah, he's the one who calls her.
And saying that Audrey has stormed off and we need your help.
Need you here.
Yeah. And then Joey runs off, but then she comes back for a kiss.
We knew it was going to happen too because they like linger. And then this like heroic, like triumphant music plays as she like returns and kisses him, and this is like other Joey doing this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ugh. It's ick.
Yeah.
Gives me
what
the
ick. I mean, what else could other Joey be doing besides
making out with random college boys?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, true.
That's the thing. That's the one thing she needs to be doing.
Yeah.
Go make out with some randos, Joey.
Rando college boy. Maybe like steal money from a bank.
What in the world?
Like, like, what else could other Joey be doing?
The bank.
If she wants to do a crime,
what does she want to do a crime? No, she just wants to be like a little like fancy,
dangerous.
Let loose and fancy free or something.
Yeah, like stealing money from a bank or
she
jewels.
Need to break the
Is she
law.
Going, a jewel heist thief.
She'd be a terrible thief.
Hold on. What year were... Remember that big art heist in Boston?
No.
Okay. There was this big art heist in Boston. What year was that? It was the Gardner Museum theft. That was in 1990. Damn it. She's 10
early.
Years too late.
Yeah.
She could have been involved with that. If she wants to be dangerous. She was in the same city, but...
Not the right time.
Yeah. A little too late.
So back at the frat house.
Yeah.
Polar Bear is
poor
back.
Jack is sitting in the dark moping. And yeah, Polar Bear's back, but Polar Bear was supposed to be the good guy.
No, Polar Bear was the dick. Polar Bear was the one who's like, yeah, let's hit some honeys tonight.
Oh, so then Polar Bear was always the issue.
He was
Polar
always the dick.
Bear and Blossom, right?
That's Blossom. Yeah, Blossom, they're like, listen, in. Eric told us you tried to kiss him. And
don't
Jack's like, are you fucking kidding
it.
Me?
Yeah, like, Jack's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, Jack's like, I could see it that you've already made your mind up about me, so I'm just going to go get the fuck out of my room.
And Polar Bear's like, that's not what we want, man.
what the fuck do you want, polar bear?
What do you want? Do you want me to admit it? And then, like, and then what? Then do you want to kick me out? Is that what you want?
Yeah, it was very weird. Because, like, if that was true, then Jack would be kicked out. So it doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, what do you want? Like, do you... Number one, poor Jack should have kept the stupid single the whole time. And then he would have never gotten himself in a situation yeah. with dumb Eric. And... I don't know. These boys blow. And what happened to the first guy? I forget his name, but he was the only good one.
They're all terrible. Recruited
him. I guess so. I guess they really are terrible.
They really sucked us in with like pretending like it was going to be like an accepting frat.
Well, this was never going to end well, I guess. Like, I don't think that this show was ever going to let the fraternity end well.
No.
Never in a million years.
No.
And I hate that this is how it's ending. It's like so stupid.
It's tropey. It's dumb.
Eric.
Yeah.
I hate everybody. Polar bear sucks.
They all suck.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically they're like, yeah, you know, just admit it. And Jack kicks them out. And now Jack has to decide like what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is leave, get out of there. It's not a safe situation for him anymore.
It's not a safe living space for him.
Nope.
So then back on the set, Dawson talks to Pacey, and Pacey says, hypothetically speaking, I might have some insight into why your ingenue is exasperated. And let's say that hypothetically speaking, I might be culpable for her exasperation. And he's like, well, I kissed her. And Dawson says, you're an idiot. Never. The first rule of the universe is never get involved with an actress. Yeah. And I'm just like, Audrey is not even an actress. Like, she's just, what?
Okay, it should be first rule. Don't hook up with your ex-girlfriend's roommate.
Thank you. There you go. That should be the first rule of the
universe. That should be the first rule.
Yeah. And so then Charlie comes over to offer ideas about his character, and Jen loses it on
him.
She
gets so scrappy, so scrappy.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. Are you seriously giving me reason to slap the silly out of you?
She's like a little chihuahua that is like just trying to lunge at you over and over again and bite your face off.
Yeah. And Charlie says she's got moxie. And I love Jen being like, who the fuck says moxie?
So Dawson has to kick her off set. He goes, babe, love you, but you can't be here.
Babe, baby, get off the set, please. Just
You're done.
Yeah,
Joey's here. She's like, who's gonna clap it?
Who's gonna do the clapper? Poor Jen. I felt so bad for her.
All she wanted to do was the clapping.
Yeah, yeah. And now she can't. But Dawson's like, oh my god, thank God you're here, Joey. Oliver, you need to take Charlie and find a and nod vaguely while he gives you his notes. He tells Jen to leave. He said, who's gonna do the clappy thing? And so then Joey is sent with Pacey to go get Audrey. And Joey, this is so weird to me. I feel like Joey is terrible at reading signals, but apparently she like immediately senses that something happened between him and Audrey.
Yeah. I don't know. Once again, I mean, this is like the where Joey starts getting really weird and happy. And I think that it's just a reaction to being on top of the world because she kissed Wilder and she's feeling free. And she knows that something happened between Audrey and Pacey and she doesn't care. So, yeah. And she's just like, it is very weird. It feels very out of body because it's not like Joey. Joey is always in her head and she doesn't forgive easily. And she is very, I mean, she's saying all the right things. And, you know, it's the issue is that it just doesn't feel like Joey. That's what it
doesn't
is.
Doesn't feel like Joey at all. And she calls Pacey an idiot. And he says, if one more person calls me an idiot, I'm really going to start feeling bad about myself. And I'm like, that's the story of Pacey's life, truly.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody calls poor Pacey an idiot. And he's not.
And this is like so weird. So Joey says, don't you think I'd prefer you hooking up with some amazing girl like Audrey rather than some random ditz whose name you can't even remember in the morning?
Oh, like Rena.
And so, like, Joey, it feels like
Joey was smart enough to figure out that Audrey was talking about Pacey earlier on, which again doesn't feel exactly correct, but whatever.
Especially because she wasn't listening to Audrey.
Exactly. She was too like mixed up in the wilder stuff. So Audrey is in the bathroom and she says, go away, severe flooding, out of order. So Joey forces Pacey to go in the bathroom with her. And Joey says, oh, you look really great in that dress. And Audrey does feel very true to character to me, at least, right? She says, like, oh, I don't deserve to talk to you. I don't even deserve to be in the same laboratory as you. And Joey says, oh, because you kissed Pacey. And Audrey's just like, oh, my God, I can't believe you told her. And she's just like, I intuited it, you know. She says, I'm not upset.
I think she just said, I intuited.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Like, yet again, this does not feel like Joey at all.
I intuited. It's yeah. Like, okay.
All right, sure. But Audrey's really, really upset. She's like, I'm weak. I was so weak. I shouldn't have done that. She says that our friendship is like the specialist thing that I've found since I came here.
Yeah.
And I stepped on it. I betrayed you. I'm weak when it comes to men. And Joey says, listen, this could be one of the smartest things you've done in a long time. She says, I love the both of you. And all I care about that you guys are happy. She says, I'm giving you my blessing. And I'm like, this just feels so fucking weird. The show is really treating it like Joey and PC like never dated. Not that I want her to be like angry, but I want her to like think about it for a second before she has this reaction.
I guess. I just think that's because she just kissed Wilder and it's like she's kind of on the top of the world and doesn't care because she has quote unquote hot professor and like everything in her life is going well right now in her mind. So I think like that's why she doesn't react big. I think that she had nothing going on and had no love prospects. Not that he's a love prospect, but you know, then I think that she would care. But I think like I really do think that she's like, I don't know, like high on love.
It just feels so unlike her. It just feels wrong. I don't know. I'm curious to see. We have some feedback. I'm curious to hear what other people think because it just doesn't work for me very well. Jack is leaving the frat house and Eric is like standing in the doorway and Jack
lingering.
Says,
that motherfucker is lingering. Go away, you fuck.
Yeah. Jack says, you know what really happened and what didn't, and you're going to have to live with that. And you've got some serious issues to deal with. You need help. I hope you find it. And he leaves.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
Jack is being so much nicer than he has to be.
Well, I mean, what's the alternative? He's going to beat Eric up and then everyone's going to be like, Jack's crazy.
No, I'm saying like he doesn't even have to waste his breath. You know what I mean? But I feel like Jack feels like a certain sense of like, I'm trying to help you, bro. Like, get your shit together. Like, what you did was so wrong and you're going to have to live with it. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, he could have just left without saying anything because Eric doesn't deserve his words or his kindness, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
So then we're back on the movie set and it's outside. And this is like a really weird conversation between Joey and Dawson. I don't even know what is happening here.
Well, she's once again high on life and she goes up and is like, you're doing so great. Like everything is going to be fine. Like our lives are going to be wonderful. Don't you worry.
Yeah, she's being so weird. And he's like saying like, listen, I don't know what to do about the ending. Like it's not a happy ending. He's going to kill her. And Joey's like, oh, that's a little cynical for like the Dawson I know. And I'm like, bitch, he didn't write the film. He's just directing it. So he didn't write the ending. But like Dawson says, I wish I could be that kid who like would like love Spielberg. And like he's having trouble mustering hope. And Joey said that she saw this words on a bench. Hope dies last.
Do we remember that? Did that?
I don't think we ever saw that.
Okay. Sure.
And she says, I think you're waiting for a sign. And he says, I've been waiting. I'm freezing my ass out here. And this is the part where I got very confused and lost. Joey says, did it ever occur to you, Dawson Leary, that maybe I'm the sign you're waiting for? It's going to be okay for all of us.
Yeah, I agree. I have no clue what's happening. But I just think once again, she's just like in her positivity mindset and she's like, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It's like, all right, Joey. It's just not like Joey. She's like too positive. It's like creeping me out.
It is. It's really, really weirding me the fuck out.
it's just.
I don't like
she's
it.
She's a creep. And then she's like, good luck with your movie. And then she just like walks off.
She just leaves. Jen finds Jack at a bus stop with his bag. And so they're like, okay, well, let's talk a little bit. And they talk about like the beginning of the year, how like Jack said that that stupid guy comes up and invites us to a frat party and everything else is kind of a blur. And he asks, did you like Notting Hill? And she says, I love that movie. And you get the vibe that like, they're going to be okay. The two of them are going to be okay. The one thing is, Jack's a fucking smoker now? What is going on? What is this show doing?
I don't know. I guess they're just like, he's stressed. He is having issues. So he took up smoking and Jen doesn't even let him. I think it's just like literally the first cigarette that he's ever smoked. And he's just like, oh, like I'm out on the streets.
So I have to be weird. A smoker now.
I know. It's weird. I don't know what's happening in this episode. But Jen takes it away after one puff and throws it away.
Good.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Jack, we need your lungs to be healthy.
Yeah.
No black lungs for you.
So ridiculous.
So I guess Jack is probably moving back to Graham's.
Seems like it. I feel like they're, I think Jack and Jen are kind of like, this was in a way them making up.
Yeah.
What
should happen?
What?
The three boys should move into an apartment.
That's what I said. I said Joey and, Pacey and Dawson should move in together.
Yes, because Pacey needs an apartment. Exactly. But now I think that Jack should join in. I think that the boys should have their own apartment and it'll be like the cool hangout spot so they can stop hanging out at Graham's house.
Yeah. Yeah. It that would make a lot more sense, but you know, we're not here to make sense. No. So back on the set. We have Oliver admitting the ending sucks ass. And so he grabs the script. He goes over to Audrey. And so he says, like, okay, we're going to cut this. We're not going to do it. Forget everything you've done.
Dawson gets some inspiration. And this was exciting. I really liked seeing Dawson in his element.
Me too.
And getting inspiration and coming up with this, like, new on-the-spot thing. And moving the camera so that they get the best shot possible when the snow starts.
This was really wonderful. I feel like this validates our like opinion that Dawson shouldn't be writing the movies. He should be directing them. He has the vision for that, especially because he's like the snow starts falling as like Audrey and Charlie are having their scene. And then he pulls the, like you said, he pulls the cameraman back as they're like walking away when the snow. So it ends happily. Like the two are holding hands. There's no you die now moment.
I guess so. I think like the moral story is that they're like just going to be crazy together and do whatever they want.
Yeah. And he says, okay, we're going to fade to black here. Yes. And that was it. That was the whole scene. And I mean, I think that is a nice ending. I like the shot that they ended up filming where like they have the them walking away and the camera kind of fades out as it's snowing. It's pretty, really pretty.
Yep. Yeah. I think that Dawson is going to be a good director. Just keep him away from the Microsoft Word. No scripts for him.
And then we get after this whole thing, we're in the parking lot and PC and Audrey are walking together. And PC apologizes for what he did. And Audrey's like, yeah, it was the method acting. And PC's like, you know what? Now that we have her permission, the feeling is just like, you know, and she's like, no, you're not my type. But of course, then they kiss because that's where we are.
Yeah. They are each other's type. I mean, do you hate it?
I want to hear your opinion first. So what do you think?
I think it makes sense in terms of, once again, if Audrey was to go out with anybody, I suppose it would be Pacey. I don't hate it. I just think that kind of like I said in the beginning of the episode, if I have to assume that Pacey and Joey are endgame, then where do we go with Audrey and Joey's friendship? Like, I'm kind of most concerned about their friendship more than anything else because I like it. I think that it both benefits the two of them. Audrey herself said it's the most special thing that she's ever had since she's coming to Boston. And I think the same for Joey. So I just like, it depends on how it ends. Like if these two are just going to have fun together, then yeah, like let's go fun. But if they're supposed to be in a real romantic relationship, then I don't know if that really works for me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in that I care more about Audrey and Joey than I do about Audrey and Pacey.
Yeah.
So you, okay, just as a question, a general question, you think Pacey and Joey are endgame? Any other couples you want to call out as endgame? Because like Dawson and, well, Dawson and Jen are together now.
Oh, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to be endgame.
Okay. I was just curious. I'm just very curious to know if you think, because then we have, like, Audrey's around, Jack is around,
yeah,
Joey's around.
Yeah, I just think that, like, Dawson's true love is film.
Okay.
I think that, like, that's what he's going to focus on. He's mm-hmm. going to focus on, like, re-going back to Hollywood and being into filmmaking. I think that Jack and Jen are each other's soulmates. Like platonically, like okay. I think that they like platonically love each other until the end. Like I think that they're like, I mean, I don't know about their relationships, but I think like they're like the true, the probably the best friendship in the entire show. They're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, I think that there has to be like, why else would people be so obsessed with Joey and Pacey if they
the wall is never enough for you, Sarah? The wall will never be enough for you.
There has to be more, and there has to be more.
I'm just saying that like people have obsessed over couples for far less.
I mean, I'm a little bit like past the point of shipping people, I guess. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think like who was like the ship for me back in the day ever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if like I ever was like on like the hill of like these people need to be together ever, like with any fandom.
Hmm. I feel like you probably did, but I don't know what it would be.
I mean, I definitely was Bella and Edward more so than Bella and
Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner.
Okay. Jake? Jacob?
Jacob. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing back in the day.
That was
I mean,
big no, thing.
I'm like, I was always a little like meh on Harry and Ginny. Like, that was like, I was never that big of a fan of Hermione and Ron.
What?
Okay. Yeah, what do you mean?
I was always a big fan of Hermione and Ron.
I think that Ron's like not good enough for Hermione.
He's misunderstood. Okay, anyway, moving on. We don't need to talk about Harry Potter here. No, I think so. As far as Audrey and Pacey are concerned, I think personality wise, chemistry wise, all of that is there for me. For me, it's more of like how they got together that's weirding me out.
Why?
It's just like it just actually feels
that doesn't weird me out.
It just felt weird. Like the Joey of it all is weirding me out.
That has nothing to do with them. Joey's reaction has nothing to do with them.
I do like though when they're kissing and Pacey, like Joey.
Who are you talking about? Which character?
Okay.
There's no Joey.
Oh no. Our listener, Joy.
Oh, Joy!
When she sent in feedback, I don't know why my mouth smushed Joey and Joy together.
I was like, there is no character named Joy in this show. What are you saying?
When Joy sent in feedback saying, like, when Pacey looks at a girl he likes,
mm-hmm.
like, he looks at her with his entire heart. And he does look at Audrey like that when he says,
this
like,
this is not love. This is fun.
Let me finish my sentence. Sorry. When he is enamored with a woman, because he says to her, like, you were amazing out there. There's that thing that you do that you smile and the whole world lights up. And I do think that's true of Audrey. Like, she is someone who is like contagiously fun. Like, correct. You can't help but be happy around her. And the way he's looking at her when he says this feels like he's being very genuine. And so I feel like if you're with Pacey, he makes you feel so freaking loved. And that part I do enjoy. So we will see what ends up happening with them. But we end the scene in a, or end this show episode.
This is weird.
What the fuck is going on? Joey's just walking down the street. She like the roads aren't even being shoveled or plowed or anything. And no. She's just like, let me pick up a snowball and throw it at this sign and pretend I'm playing baseball. What the fuck?
I don't understand what the direction was here. Once again, I just think that she's just on the top of the world because she kissed him. That's what I think this is. Like, I think that she's going around town, spreading weird. Her joy. She's on top of the world. She's having fun. And she's like, my life is good. I kissed this professor that I probably shouldn't have.
Also,
and she like skips down the block.
I the think way that that's what it is. This walking is really weirding me out too.
She's walking like,
she's waving robot. Her arms around like a lunatic, like just like woo. She's like clomping with her arms, like swinging. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. And also, I don't understand how this episode is a TBC.
I don't know.
Why are we to be continuing? What is there to do? We continue.
Just find out why Joey is acting like she is. I don't know.
It's so weird. Got it the makes lobotomy. No sense. That was our episode. I don't even know.
I don't know what happened.
I
don't know. Who cares? The only thing is that somebody that happy, the only way to go is down. I think it's gonna go crashing down.
Okay.
Well, and then we can get grumpy pessimistic Joey again.
Love the return of grumpy pessimistic Joey.
And then everything or will be normal. Or wilding out
Joey. Like the Joey that kisses random strangers. Like, please, bring her back. Sings
karaoke, please. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that would be great. But in the meantime, would you like to hear some voicemails? Of course, we did hear from Temi. So let's see what he has to say about this episode.
Buongiorno, Godona. Io sono un uomo. How do you like Joey as a diplomat? She comes to set and gives her blessing to Audrey and Pacey. And then she reminds Dawson about his penchant for being optimistic. I think you've said that Dawson and Joey often say what the other wants to hear, which is a bad part of their relationship. But I was thinking about that, and maybe it's because they know each other so well that sometimes they rely on that knowledge too much, and maybe they guess what the other person wants to hear. But I think it works here because sometimes you do need to be reminded of who you are or what you need to do in a situation. So I'm sure it was Dawson who called Joey out of Joey and Professor Wilder's rendezvous at his house. I was thinking, why does she know where he lives? But it's because she was at a party before at his house. So I was like, okay, she's not doing anything too untoward there. But do you think every Dawson has a Joey and every Joey has a Dawson? And I think Pacey's super charming in this episode. Dawson can never talk to woman like Pacey talks to Audrey. So that's the difference between them. I like when he talks in these episodes and the semi-chuckling every couple of sentences. It's really, again, charming. The show feels more soap operatic this season. But whenever those moments happen, I think that feeling is undercut immediately with comedy. So I think they're doing a good job of mixing in soap opera elements with comedy. And that snowball pitch by Joey was in commercials for TBS syndication. And back in the day, there was 4 hours of Dawson's Creek on TBS when the show first ended. Thanks.
Why would they choose that scene to put on TBS?
They're like,
that's so weird.
Look at Joey being so happy and positive and throwing a snowball. We gotta put this out and show it and make sure everybody enjoys it just like us.
Ridiculous.
Obviously, we didn't like Joey in this episode. She was weird and creepy and too happy us the heebie-jeebies. So
I do like the point that Temi makes of like, though, because Joey and Dawson know each other so well and have known each other for so long, sometimes you do need someone to remind you like who you actually are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not that that can't change. You can change, but like at his heart, Dawson still is like a romantic, right? So kind of reminding him of that was a nice moment.
Yeah. Sure. They are Dawson and Joey.
Does every Dawson have a Joey?
Well, this was a quote from an earlier season.
No, I know, but is that true? Does every Dawson have a Joey?
No.
Does every Joey? No, I don't think so. I don't think everybody has that.
No,
there's some lonely people in the world.
Oh no, Jessica.
It's true.
Jessica.
It's true.
You are starting to sound like pessimistic Joey.
Someone has to be pessimistic Joey because
I don't like this energy from you.
Let's listen to a voicemail we got from DBK. I'm very curious to hear his thoughts on Joey this episode.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, let's get into this because this episode was kind of meh for me. So let's talk about this whole Pacey and Audrey thing and Joey being fine with it. Like, this is the biggest load of bullshit the show's ever tried to feed us, that Joey wouldn't care about this. Like, in what world? Joey, who butts her nose into everything and never wants anyone to, like, know her business, doesn't care about supposedly Pacey, who's, like, her soulmate or love of her life or, like, the one she's supposed to be with. She doesn't care that he's going to hook up with, like, her best friend, basically, that mm-hmm. Joey's ever had other than Dawson. She doesn't care about this. Sure. And then, like, what is Pacey doing? Like, so Pacey doesn't care about Joey either, that, like, he's just gonna, like, hook up with her best friend and not think a big deal about it? And, like, I like Audrey and Pacey together. They slide in right under Andy and Pacey for me. But this is still a trash move. Like, it makes no sense. And also, once Sarah said that, like, Pacey would never, like, cheat or whatever, he's, like, not a cheater, I'm like, I don't think Pacey's above it. Like, this just kind of, like, shows that Pacey's, like, he'll do anything. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
So we never really talked about this episode being a lot about, like how Audrey would feel, but I mean, what about Pacey? Like, Pacey is,
yeah,
why is Pacey comfortable with hooking up with Audrey when Joey is a factor? You know, like, it's,
that's where I think the show makes a mistake. I don't think it makes that sense.
Like it's kind of like, oh, like, Pacey's just, like, following his sexual preferences.
The show is making a ton of sense. I feel like this whole season is like, Pacey and Joey never happened, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like Pacey. Like, I disagree with DBK in terms of, like, the cheating thing. Like, this isn't cheating. He's not with Joey. He's not with anybody.
Well, if he does this, then he can do anything. That's what DBK was saying. But
I guess, but, like, it's a mistake. They admit it's a mistake. But I think they're doing a disservice to Pacey by, like, making it seem like Audrey's the only one who cares that they made the mistake. Whereas I think realistically this would haunt Pacey. I don't think the show is doing a great job of, like, keeping true to Pacey's character and what we've been, like, consistent with his character so far. It feels like he would be bothered.
You would think that Pacey would feel a little bit of guilt surrounding Joey and how she was feeling, but it seems as though he's doesn't really, like, because at least Audrey knows why Joey's so distracted, but, like, does Pacey know that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You would think that Pacey would be like, are you okay with this? Like, really? I don't know.
Yeah. It feels strange. Although I do agree with DBK. Like, Joey would definitely not be, like, super cool about this. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
No. But I think that they have this narrative that they want to create this show, and they're going to get there any way that they can.
Yeah. We also have an email from Joy. She says, sometimes the show frustrates me to no end. Jen being absolutely done with Charlie every time she's around him is really the only good part. But Joey chasing Wilder is shit. Eric being horrific to Jack and the frat believing his lies, shit. And then there's Pacey. Joy says she's of two minds here. One, it's like the writers of season 5 and to a degree season 4 as well forgot all about season 2 and 3 Pacey and just regressed him back to season 1 Pacey.
True.
Number two, he had a one night stand. Who cares? How does that make him comparable to the Gage character. Who's Gage? I don't know. Because that's what it seems like the show is trying to show. He couldn't remember Rena's name in the morning, and he kissed Joey's roommate. He's fucking awful. Forget the fact that he was making Rena an omelet after a one-night stand. Now, personally, I've never had a one-night stand, but I don't think that's the norm. But that's just not his character. PC, quote-unquote, I remember everything, Witter, wouldn't forget her name. Unless maybe he was drunk. And if that's the case, that's a whole different issue, since it's canon that Pacey only gets drunk when he's feeling very upset. And Audrey, God love her, literally jumped on top of him to method act her lines. So was it not a mutual thing? Side note, Joshua Jackson's pillow acting might be on par with Busy Phillips' blanket acting.
Yeah.
That's so true. And then you have Joey, cool as a cucumber, Potter. She was so hurt by Dawson and Jen, but has absolutely no problem with Pacey being with Audrey. Just another segment in the Pacey Joey erasure that is season 5. I like that she didn't react as horrendously as Dawson did at the end of season 3, though. I think both Joey and Pacey have that in the back of their minds regarding any future relationships the two may have. And they have both made the decision to never go full Dawson, which is healthy and lovely. But to have no reaction at all, there's no way. Totally agree with this. I like that she's pointing out Joey's reaction to Dawson and Jen, because I do feel like, yeah, there should be some reaction. Like, exactly. Even if it's not at the level of the Dawson level.
Exactly. Nobody will go full Dawson. How?
No.
I mean,
I love that. I love that reaction of full Dawson, as a phrase, is very funny.
Yeah.
And she does say, I don't really like Pacey and Audrey together. I like them better as friends. I think Audrey and Dawson could have been a fantastic pairing. That's very interesting. But of course, Joey can only hate Jen for encroaching on the sacred Dawson territory. If he and Audrey got together, they'd have to stop being friends, wouldn't they? But because Pacey means nothing, or at least way less than Dawson, he's fair game. Sorry if I sound bitter. It just irritates me. The show has always had the potential to be so good. It's just sad when it's not.
Absolutely.
I love this. Thank you for this feedback, Joy. I think this makes a ton of sense.
Do you think that for Joey, Dawson is like some person on a pedestal and nobody can touch him?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that was her first love and her childhood friend. Yep. But PC for her is just somebody that she went out with.
Yeah. And I think the show is just doing a complete disservice to this, that like, I don't like how they do that. I don't like how they're making it so that Dawson is untouchable, but it doesn't matter what happens to PC. Joey doesn't care. Cause that does not feel true to Joey at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the feedback we got this week. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod.com. You could send in audio, like voicemail if you want, or you could always email us shit90spod@gmail.com.
I wonder if we're going to have one more attempt at a Dawson Joey relationship by the end of the series. I'm sure.
There's still a season and a half, right? I mean, well, we're over halfway through this season. Yeah.
Because they never really took off.
No, it didn't. It his dad died, and then that was it. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, they had like a month of dating, right? And then like whatever, it all ended. And then they go to date again, but then his dad dies, and then that's it. So, yeah, we'll see. But that's all we have for this episode. Sarah, do you want to know what the next episode is titled?
Sure.
Downtown Crossing.
Downtown Crossing. They go downtown.
Downtown
Boston. I don't know what's downtown in Boston. They have very good cannolis in Little Italy.
Okay. Maybe they're getting cannolis.
Yeah. I don't know if that's downtown, though.
I truly do not know. But that's our next episode.
Great. Phenomenal. Amazing. Hopefully it's better than this episode. This episode kind of stunk. But you know what? See us next week. We're going to have more fun at Shit 90s Pod. And I think like more stuff's coming out. We're going to do Thelma and Louise this month. Yep. That should be fun.
So I'm excited about that.
Keep following. You know, we can get you through the January blues. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy, just like Joey. Find me at Sarah Ferguson. That's about it. Like for me, I don't really have a lot going on. Just doing my TikToking and my reading.
Yeah. I'm at the Jess Sterling. Same stuff. Mythic Quest is finishing up. National Treasure, Edge of History is still happening. Soon, I'll be podcasting about The Last of Us on Post Show Recaps. There's going to be so much coverage over there. So if that's a show you're interested in, go check it out. I'm going to be on one of the many podcasts about The Last of Us. Zed and I, Brooklyn Zed, are going to be playing the video game for the first time alongside the show. So go. Sarah's making a grimace. What's the matter with your face? You don't like The Last of Us?
Just like, why?
What do you mean, why? It's going to be like the biggest show of the year, Sarah, despite the fact that you don't tend to like popular TV.
What? Why is this the most popular show of the year?
This game is, first of all, the game is massive. It like has a sequel. It is like a massive, massive game that people love the story of. And the people on the show, like this show is going to be huge.
Who's on the show?
Let me get the actual name so I don't fuck it up. Hold on. So Pedro Pascal, number one, he is from The Mandalorian, which you haven't watched. He is from Game of Thrones, which you haven't watched. and then Bella Ramsey plays a character. She is also from Game of Thrones, which you haven't watched. Very, very famous people. And yeah, it's coming out on HBO. It is the HBO Sunday night show, in just a couple weeks. So Sarah does not care.
Does nothing for me.
It's a post-apocalyptic drama. I mean, everyone has heard of this at this point. I know. You hate it. It's fine. You don't.
Sounds terrible.
It's going to be great. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be heart-wrenching. It's going to be terrifying. It's going to be wonderful.
Ew.
Do I have anything else going on? That's pretty much about it. Community building is still happening. We're going into season 5 over on Pusher Recaps. Check out all of that. You can find me at The Just Sterling. I think I already said that. That's probably all we have at Shit90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to find us there, send in your feedback. We love hearing from all of you lovely people. That's it, Sarah, right? I covered all the basics. I'm tired.
Indeed you did. You're tired?
January is tiring.
You're going to take a nap?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit90s Shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.